Cooked and Bombed
presents
the Chris Morris Music Shows.
Visit us online at www.cookedandbombed.co.uk
or chill.cream.org.
A lot of news excitement tonight because of this.
I knew that the tabloids would try and make it down market, try and pick up sensational bits of which there are none, and ruin the sophisticated image which I wanted this book to have.
That's exclusive to this show, Anna Pasternak defending her latest book, co-written with a male author, Die. I emptied my nuts on her chest.
That the tabloids would try and make it down market, try and pick up sensational bits of which there are none, and ruin the sophisticated image which I wanted this book to have.
I know.
Looking at the issue of fox hunting and humanity, talking to the mother of rock skink, Gary Newman.
By making the fox bigger it can stop it, then perhaps that is the answer.
How big would you make the fox?
Bigger than the hounds.
What about if it was the size of a cow?
It's got to help, hasn't it?
Interesting views too, of course, from the man himself. Each call can channel some funds in one direction or another. It can either go to the breeder of slow foxes in Gloucestershire, slow especially so they can be hunted, or it can go towards the manufacture of some protective clothing saboteurs put on foxes to protect them against the dogs.
Really? I didn't know there was any... Oh, well, it goes for the foxes then. I didn't know there was any such thing, is it?
Yes, it's very much like the kind of jacket that people use when they're cutting up wood with a chainsaw.
That's excellent, isn't it?
Gary, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Teardrop Explodes, Julian Cope, from the time in his life when he had the Jilly Cooper hairstyle, which made him look very much like a cross between Jim Morrison and his hero, Dougal the Dog, from Magic Roundabout. Just before the time in his life when he came up with the lyric, "People are people," with the added advantage of the spoken word. In tonight's Horny Gosling, Peter Bainham is checking out people. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening.
Any luck tonight so far?
Not as such. I've been ringing around, but I haven't actually found any people yet.
Okay, check it out.
Cheers.
Don't know if you saw on the news the other night that they had a mini-sub down there in the Baltic looking for bits and pieces from the overturned ferry. You were probably expecting to see the odd kind of corpse bobbing by in the water, and rather like me, were surprised when one didn't materialise. You'll be glad to know that in the editing rooms at the BBC, guys are having such a laugh with that corpse footage. I went down there the other day, and honestly, I was there for 3 hours. They've got loads of corpses just bobbing around in the water like something out of Jaws. And what they do is they cut it together with bits of music. So like a slow motion and rock and roll kind of thing, like they do with the tennis players at Wimbledon. They play bits like Octopus's Garden or Don't Rock My Boat by Bob Marley. Oh, God. And they're going to release it as a commercial video called The Baltic Wave. In the news tonight, it's all change at the Labour Party with Tony Blair revealing a brand new agenda for the future.
This is where we begin. This is all there is. We're setting ourselves apart and we're starting again now. If you don't like it, get out fast. Run for cover, because we're coming to get you.
That's all in tonight's Krusty. That's a new one from Oasis. It's their T-Rex song. Sorry, the Pistols. I mean, Quo. It's Quo, isn't it? Cigarettes and alcohol from Oasis. Knocking around next door, our reporter Peter Hamill with this week's Call 1 FM, Fox Hunting and Humanity.
Call 1 FM. Carla Lane is on the line. Hello, Carla.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. Now, what's your view, fox hunting and humanity?
Well, I don't think there's much humanity in fox hunting, that's for sure.
Now, you're someone whose brain is like a huge, great big game reserve. But do you know how a fox thinks?
I think I do.
And you say you've got to know them since you've moved to Sussex.
Yes, I've got one living right in the midst of my land. and she's brought up four cubs.
And when she brought them up, you weren't shocked?
Certainly not. I thought it was beautiful.
But did she bring them up whole?
Yes.
And you didn't actually see her bringing them up?
You see the odd paw, you hear the odd scuffle. And
as they come out of the mud.
You know that the grass that is all laid flat.
That's where they fell out onto the ground?
Yes, and it's where they played and ate.
I suppose, actually, it'd be less intrusive if, rather than watching her, you could record a big foxy belch as she brought them up.
Yes.
Carla Lane, thank you very much, and thank you very much particularly for bringing before us the image of a mother fox bringing up her children.
Thank you.
Call. Call 1FM, Fox Hunting and Humanity. We're talking to Mark Hattersley. Hello, Mark.
All right.
Great to hear from Carla Lane, wasn't it?
Yeah, brilliant.
What's your view?
Well, what gives people a right to chase a fox across the field till it drops dead? I mean, they're just sick, the people are. Well, you've seen them when they come back and they're evil, you know, I mean, it's as if they're smirking and you know, they're lapping it up.
Is it like they're giggling up their sleeves like naughty children?
Yeah, they're really enjoying themselves.
Right, are they kind of rubbing themselves as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, and are they kind of like looking all sort of swoony and pleasurable?
Yeah, and then
and they're doing it to each other as well?
Yeah.
In some kind of sick, sort of smearing, greasy way?
That's it, yeah.
Would they do it alone?
No.
So it's something
they're too cowardly to go out on their own.
And if they did, what do you think would happen? If it was one bloke running around after a fox?
Oh, obviously they'd still get the fox because the fox is a scared creature.
Wouldn't it be better, though, if all the hunts people had to line up and watch one man running across the land, leaping over hedges, chasing the fox and running it to earth? The fox would have a much better chance, wouldn't it?
Yes, it'd have a better chance, yeah.
So, in fact, you think that this would be a good way round it? Keep the sport, but save the fox.
Yeah.
What handicap do you think you could persuade the fox hunters to put on the man who ran after the fox?
Big steel-toed cap boots or something like that. Something that's going to weigh him down anyway.
Or a very heavy riding hat.
Yeah.
So that his neck muscles were quite strained.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his head was actually wobbling about probably when he was going over some of the bumpy bits.
Yeah.
Let's look at the heartstring element. Foxes, cuddly creatures, big eyes, fluffy faces.
Yeah, right.
What about if it were a piece of tumbleweed?
Well, tumbleweed's a plant, isn't it?
Right, so if we could persuade them to chase tumbleweed...
Yeah.
...and run that to ground and rip it to pieces...
That's a much sensible solution, yeah.
In your heart of hearts, how long do you think it'll be before we actually see this kind of thing happening?
I possibly won't see it in my lifetime.
But you might see it in your children's lifetime.
I hope so, yeah.
Okay, Mark.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, then.
Bye.
Thank you.
Last record.
Hi, this is Cyndi Lauper. Isn't Phil Collins a little wanker?
Thank you. A man.
Apparently it ends suddenly. Oh, Peter Bainham, do you want to buy this duckling? Because nobody got a chance to win it last week.
Hmm.
I can sell it to you for 25 quid.
No, thanks.
It was 25 francs, right, but 25 quid will be... You sure?
Well, 25 francs is 25 quid.
25 francs is 25 quid now, yes. That's the exchange rate, yeah.
I can't afford it, sorry. I can't.
25 quid's a bargain.
I can't, I haven't got 25
quid. Why
not? I've just been... I've just been cleaned out several times this week, so I'm a bit hard up, basically. Dentists yesterday.
Dentists?
The dentists, yeah. Under your office.
Them?
Them, yeah.
You went to see them?
I went in there thinking, yeah,
you
a dentist.
Idiot.
You know.
Yeah,
but they didn't look like some Harley Street thing. They didn't have like a gold, you know, a reception area made out of solid gold or anything. I just thought, nice dentist. So I went in.
Check up,
right,
yeah.
With the hygienist. Check up with the dentist. X-ray, how much?
Give us a number. Next door. Is that what you pay for that? £12.92.
£12.92.
Yeah,
multiply that by 70
quid.
It was 80 quid altogether.
80 quid?
80 bloody quid.
For that?
35 quid.
You nuts.
Right, 35 quid.
I don't believe this.
For a dental, just for a checkup, for the guy to look at my gob, point at a tooth and say to his, you know, the woman sitting next to him, like, oh, the back one at the back one on the right is has got a filling in it.
What did the hygienist say?
She took a bit of plaque from the inside of my mouth, put it on a slide, put that under a microscope, put it up on a screen.
Yeah.
Right. On a screen. And said, look, here's all the nice little bacteria in your mouth.
So what she did, she charged you so that she could tell you...
Yes.
...that you needed to come back to the dentist.
Yes.
And are you going to go back to him?
Yeah, I
suppose.
What for? For a filling.
But how much is
that going to
cost?
That's going to cost me 80 quid.
And so I'm also going to 160 quid.
And I've got another session with a hygienist as well.
And
another 35 quid with a hygienist.
What do these people spend their money on?
Well, I mean, oh, God, have you seen? Look at the brochure.
Well, that's for the dental practice.
I mean, the twattery. Look at, read the stuff in there.
Okay, CVs. What have we got? CVs.
Yeah.
Okay, so one guy, right? Yeah, he's a dentist, fine. He's been working, since blah, 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 blah. And when not working, which is probably most of the year, he enjoys skiing, tennis, chess, and escaping to the rural life of Wales. That is great nerve, isn't it? No, they say, you read this, and they say, the money that you give to us helps us to have these hobbies.
Yes.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
It's very tactful of them not to have put in the fact that he goes yachting and paragliding and any other sport that costs over 100 quid a minute.
Cocaine.
And look at this guy. Rimmer. Okay. Rimmer enjoys crown and bridge work. What a sicko.
Sick.
What kind
sick
of puke
man.
Monkey is he? And then there's, look, aesthetics.
Oh, God.
What's aesthetic? Did they talk
have
to you about
this,
aesthetics?
This is the thing that says aesthetics is fun.
Bleaching teeth, veneering, recontouring teeth to follow the smile line.
God.
So if your teeth are not perfectly formed, they say, you may well need aesthetic treatment.
Yes, yes. And what is aesthetics? Well, is symmetry, it's art,
artistic appreciation, yeah.
So what are they saying? They're going to
say,
like,
we could improve the symmetry of your teeth. Mm. They'd be much more symmetrical if you gave you one single spherical tooth in your mouth.
Or how about if they work on your teeth, they'll do thousands and thousands of pounds worth of aesthetic work on your teeth, and then they'll give you nice glass cheeks.
So that people can see.
Yeah.
Originality. You go for teeth all over your face. It's original.
Yeah.
Nice original teeth. Aesthetics.
Mm.
Homeopathic treatment. So what's... Why should we be progressively replacing your teeth with smaller and smaller teeth? Sterilisation they boast about. Although no doubt, what do they say? All their instruments have been autoclaved. Cold sterilisation, no doubt they've got some orthodontist who is an intravenous heroin user and dribbles into your mouth throughout. And listen, I've just found something else that would freak you out. You paid on a private system, right?
Yeah, well, it's a private place.
No, they do NHS as well, look.
No!
Yeah. You could have had the whole lot for less than 30 quid.
God almighty.
Mind you, if you had then had your teeth veneered, you know, because they're like, well, we give you porcelain, sir, if you were private, but it's going to have to be full mica this. Why should I hold my breath? Yeah, did you hear the Nikki Campbell show today? It was joking about the ferry. I couldn't believe my ears. Quite calmly, there was some news piece about it. And afterwards he said, oh yes, the ferry turned over there in the Baltic Sea, which is part of Scandinavia, so it must have been a bit of a Helsinki. Helsinki. Couldn't believe my ears. 2 minutes later, he says, what was the favourite music on the Estonian list? He did that one about 25 past five. And he did one more, I'll try and remember it. Meanwhile, here's today's first feedback report.
Flat milk. Problems with flat milk. How do you feel?
Well, I'd ask you much point in that.
What's wrong with flat milk, in your opinion?
It's not doing the job it's supposed to.
It's like a blind plumber with a big hammer who goes around smashing all your pipes.
Pardon?
However much you paid, it's not doing the job properly.
No, and I don't think that should be interfered with you, unless you're one of these people, once the slim, then you go into skim. But flat milk, that's...
That's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Rubbish, yeah.
Yes. How can you tell that the milk is flat?
Well, you know right away.
Just by looking at it?
Yeah.
What's the nutritional value of flat milk?
Oh, couldn't be very much.
Less than five?
Yeah.
How can we stop milk's flatness?
You can't pump it up again.
You can't pump it up again?
No.
Not even if you had an extremely large compressor?
I shouldn't think so, no.
So you'd prefer your milk bumpy rather than flat?
Yeah.
So, what's the similarity between the Estonia and Princess Di?
About 900 people went down on it. Oh, thank you.
Chris Morris. Basically, Steve Wright on a one-legged horse.
That's Elastica and the new single Connection. Tonight's phone-in issue is fox hunting and humanity with Peter Hamill.
Call 1FM.
Call 1FM, line 576, British Field Sports Society representative Janet George.
Yes.
Now, tell us, Janet, fox hunting and humanity, your point of view.
I have no problems with being humane and supporting fox hunting. I think most people who hunt have a great respect for the fox and a great affection for the fox.
And getting on a horse and running after it with a pack of dogs is just one way of expressing that affection.
Well, yes, if you like to put it that way. It's certainly, I think, people who hunt have a much greater understanding of the fox
and
a greater respect for it.
So understanding plus respect plus a pack of dogs, a horse and a uniform equals affection.
Well, maybe it does, yes.
Do you think the people who don't understand that have a limited understanding of what affection is?
A lot of people sort of say, oh, they love animals, but they don't know anything about them and they don't understand them. And a lot of people love their own animals to death.
Now, that's a horrible thing as well. I hate to see that.
Yeah.
And many of those people who love their animals to death don't understand that one way of expressing affection for an animal is to chase it around a bit.
Well, the fox is a predator, the fox is a wild animal, and for him to stay wild is the best thing for him.
Absolutely, and if you give cat food to a fox, that's not affectionate.
No, it's making an animal dependent on you and taking away its natural instinct, which is to be frightened of humans.
Okay, I want you to imagine that I've got someone here in the studio who is a hunt saboteur. I've put headphones on them, they can hear what you're saying. Explain to them exactly so that they can understand how putting on a tunic, getting on a horse, chasing a fox with a pack of hounds is affectionate. Can you explain that to them?
I think that the people who hunt have a respect for the animal.
No, affectionate, not respect.
I think you've got me there. I mean, I have a little problem thinking of the fox in affectionate terms.
Janet, thanks a lot. We're talking to John. Evening, John.
Good evening.
You have been involved in disrupting hunts.
I have indeed, yes, for the past 10 years.
One of the key elements of the hunt is the speed, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if you impose a limit on the speed?
What do you mean by that, sorry?
You think if you banned it, you would save more foxes than if the hounds were only allowed to run at half a mile an hour?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Right. Because if they ran at half a mile an hour, would they catch the fox?
Oh, yeah, they'd run it to exhaustion, absolutely.
What, at half a mile an hour?
Oh, yeah, they would eventually track it down and get it, yeah.
What, really slowly?
Yeah.
Just shuffle up to it?
Yeah.
All these hounds like a wall of very slow old men.
Yeah, a prolonged chase.
If the hounds were running at half a mile an hour, the fox would have time to evolve into a bird before they caught it.
Oh, yeah, but they would eventually catch it. Like I say, the fox...
What, whilst it was evolving into a bird?
A bird?
Call 1FM. FM. FM.
Tonight's exciting exclusive...
I knew that the tabloids would try and make it down market, try and pick up sensational bits of which there are none, and ruin the sophisticated image which I wanted this book to have.
Dana Pasternak defending her latest book, co-written with James Hewitt. I had to anaesthetize my tongue before I ate die out. Ah, sorry, no, I got the title wrong. It was, my eyebrows were crusty with Dye's dried crack juice. That's Spearhead People in the Middle, one remnant from Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy, and a gang making Sly Stone noises. And by the way, look out all this week and halfway through next week. If you're having difficulty making up your mind whether to have plastic surgery, we can help you on 1FM. We can help you get your problem in perspective. On Emma Freud's show, the 1FM team of plastic surgeons will be performing operations all week before a live audience. All you have to do if you want it is simply turn up, show yourself to the punters in the auditorium, and they decide. During the operation, the surgeon will call out questions like, shall I cut here? What next? So that every snip and stitch of your cosmetic operation is decided by the public, who will, after all, eventually be your judge. That's making use of the BBC's Paris Theatre with Emma Freud throughout next week. Call 1FM today is on fox hunting and humanity. Here's Peter Hamill.
Call 1FM.
Call 1FM, line 246, Gary Newman.
Hiya.
What are your views on fox hunting and humanity? Thanks.
As far as fox hunting is concerned, I'm totally against it.
Do you agree that basically a fox is like a football, and that the hunters are basically charging after a red furry ball, but it's a ball that can run or outwit a dog, and it's a ball that the players won't head or kick, but they'll rip it to pieces with their teeth baying and howling and smearing their faces with guts?
Yeah, I think it's very much along those lines, yeah.
Right. Okay, Gary, each call can channel some funds in one direction or another. It can either go to the breeder of slow foxes in Gloucestershire, slow especially so they can be hunted, or it can go towards the manufacturer of some protective clothing saboteurs put on foxes to protect them against the dogs.
Really? I didn't know there was any... Oh, well, it goes for the foxes, then.
It goes for the foxes? What, the protective clothing?
To protect the foxes, yes, absolutely. I didn't know there was any such thing. That's
actually... It's kind of a little jacket made out of canvas. It's very much like the kind of jacket that people use when they're cutting up wood with a chainsaw.
How on earth do they get it onto the foxes?
Well, the saboteurs get it onto the foxes because some of them, they get like... you know, people tickle trout. Have you ever come across that?
I have heard of that.
You know what happens there?
No.
You put your hand in the river and you stroke the fish in the same way as the current of the water.
Yeah.
And so the fish doesn't actually notice the hand is touching it, and then you can just flip it out of the water with your hand.
Really?
It's an extraordinary thing. People can do that with foxes. There's a different system, but basically if you walk towards them very carefully, and I think if you walk round them in a circle, then they're not sure that you're getting closer with each time you go round.
Yeah.
And saboteurs can certainly get close enough to put on the little jacket.
That's excellent, isn't it?
It's great. I mean, I think that's one of the best things about this, is that it is excellent.
Yeah.
Gary, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Still to come, Gary Newman's mum.
Hello, this is Bruno Brooks.
On Fox Hunting and Humanity.
This is Bruno Brooks, and I've been taking drugs in the middle of the night.
In certain circumstances.
Tracy Jack's Blur. Peter Bainham is checking out people tonight. Got any people so far yet?
No.
Okay, keep checking. Hey, did you see that thing in the paper about trying to make tennis more interesting?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, by altering the aerodynamics of the balls or something.
Yeah.
There'll be better ways of making tennis more interesting. Like, if you're allowed to play with a racket and a gun.
Yes. How about if a player is rude to the umpire can force them to play with a snooker cue?
Yeah. Basically. Or if they had it on the racket, they had to play with fireworks coming out of the handle of the racket. So they go and there's just like fireworks flying out.
Blasted into the face of the crowd. About a rogue ball boy is appointed either side of the court, and they have five goes of this ball boy, and what the ball boy can do is just as one of the players is about to serve, just go up to the player about to serve and just push them.
Or if you're allowed, it'd be great if you were allowed to serve at a ball boy. And if you hit him, then it didn't count as a wasted serve.
Yeah. How about a large, fat, naked woman sitting in the middle of the court playing with big toys? Just sitting there playing with toys.
Just by the net.
Yeah.
Actually on the court.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the umpire, because he's in a high chair.
Yeah.
He'd have to come on in baby clothes.
Yeah.
Be fed.
And could he go like, 11:40?
Yeah. Yeah, as long as he was understood, yeah.
Right. How about big traps under the court?
Like on a stage. Like
so you'd have, like, grass turfs in the area, and you wouldn't know, and all of a sudden you're so basically, sort of somebody runs forward to serve, and they just disappear into the ground.
Because you can operate it.
Yeah.
Or someone on your trainer can operate it. Mm. Or a circular tennis court.
Good idea. What, with a circular net?
In the middle.
Yes. Or around them.
No, in the middle.
In the middle. What, like those little cages?
Like a tree guard. Yeah.
Very good.
It's like the sport, and I suppose if you give them drugs, give the players drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like the British athletes, you know, all the names are coming out, the British athletes who use drugs. If they were allowed to use drugs, I mentioned this before, but if they're allowed to use drugs, you could have brilliant events like the hop, skip and marathon.
How about a Coke, right, so they give them Coke at the beginning of the, at the marathon. And so they've all taken a line of Coke, and then they just start running like hell, so after about 100 metres, they all just collapse.
But they all sprint off on the marathon. Or the hallucinating hurdles. It's just a straight track, and they give them all a drop of acid. And they say, okay, this track is covered in hurdles.
Yeah.
And then you just watch all these men running around and leaping over things that they can see that you can't. Of course, they have the
in the Olympics. They have horse events anyway, don't they?
Horse, you mean...
They have, what else do they have?
In the Winter Olympics, they have... Snow!
Speed skating?
High jump!
High!
High!
The height! The height! The Department of Transport has just announced that Heston services have been stolen this evening. Police launched an emergency search at 4 o'clock this afternoon after being phoned by a stunned motorist who had pulled off the motorway for petrol and found himself driving around on a large patch of bare earth. An angry Heston bigwig says the police could have saved his station. As early as yesterday evening, we were reporting the loss of a refreshment area, but no one would listen, he stormed. Heston is the fifth service station to have disappeared in the last fortnight, and motorway detectives fear this could be the work of international forecourt hustlers who export complete, fully staffed garages for installation in foreign deserts. Police say they have no idea how the thefts were achieved, but several witnesses remember seeing a man in overalls working his way around the edge of the site with a pair of scissors. Sway, Paul.
Yeah.
You've got them?
Yeah, I've got them, Chris.
Three?
All three.
Okay, we'll hear those in a minute. Meanwhile, Call 1FM with Peter Hamill.
Call 1-1-1-1-FM-FM-FM-FM.
Fox hunting and the wretched slosh of the human soul. It's Gary Newman's Mount Beryl. Hello!
Hello there.
Thanks very much for joining us indeed. Now, what's your opinion?
Oh, I hate it. I think it's terrible.
I'd like to ask you your opinion of fox hunting in towns. Now we have urban foxes.
Well, it's just, I mean, it causes so much other damage, doesn't it? I mean, imagine the poor fox anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, through your garden, I mean, your children are out there.
Sometimes playing by the washing line.
That's right.
What problems do you think will crop up with fox hunting in the town? It is, after all, the first time it's been allowed.
Well, I think there's going to be accidents. I think people's pets are going to be, like, caught up in it all.
Do you think they'll get run over by horses?
Oh, I do. I think, well, it's got to, isn't it? Because they just really go...
They go hell for velour.
Yes.
What would happen to a small dog being kicked in the face by a hoof?
Well, it's got to be fatal, isn't it? I mean, I've actually seen that.
Would you be prepared to run around with a syringe putting a little animal like that out of its misery if it had been run over by a hunt?
I think I'd do whatever I could to try and save it, but I suppose in the end of the day, yes, I would if it stopped its suffering.
Right, so if Keith Chegwin gave you a syringe, you would put that dog out of its misery?
It would take a lot of courage, but I think, yes, I would.
You would. You'd hold your breath and do that?
Yes.
Obviously, fox hunting would not be so bad if the fox were bigger.
Yes, I don't think that perhaps the hounds would be so quick to go after it.
What about if it was the size of a cow?
It's got to help, hasn't it?
Beryl, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Up next, Paul Garner with childish announcements. This is Gravediggers. Pass the Shovel. It's a Gravediggers, Pass the Shovel. It's from the LP Nigger Mortis. Gravediggers' gig is to get horror movie imagery and samples and then make a whole album out of it. So you got tracks like Two Cups of Blood, Blood Brothers, Dull, 1-800-SUICIDE, Mummy, What's a Gravedigger? And that one, Pass Me the Shovel. Paul.
Yeah, hi.
A horrible great cyst you've got there on your stomach.
Yeah,
weeping boil.
Yeah,
bubonic plague.
Unfortunate bubonic plague.
How long have you got?
Probably about 24 hours.
Just while you got these in then?
Yeah, got them in. Got them
so you've got them all? You got
yeah,
three?
Yeah, another successful
nice
mission
one.
Out there.
Nice
tonight.
One. Okay, so the first Tano announcement you got read out at Heathrow was...
Mr. Fucking Bus.
As in...
Mr. Fucking Bus.
It left the stop just as you were coming up.
Yeah.
Mr. Fucking Bus recently arrived from Stockholm. Please go to the meeting point. Mr. Fucking Bus, please go to the meeting point.
She's very mature.
She was a nice woman.
Which helps. Okay, number two. How what was the separation between these?
How long?
Yeah.
Oh, minutes.
Minutes later, she said...
Parlov Dagsmark.
Harloff Dagsmark, please contact Airport Information. Harloff Dagsmark, please contact Airport Information for a telephone call.
Okay, so when you gave this to her, she just said, yes, sir, yes, Parloff Dagsmark.
She wrote it down, repeated it, and then went straight to the microphone.
And number three?
You revolt me.
She bought that.
She said, you revolt me.
You revolt me. You revolt me. Recently arrived in Egypt, Cairo, please contact Airport Information to take a telephone call.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Chris.
She's my best friend.
Fargan Bass is a double barrel surname.
I'm not around if you want to.
And the Bass is like the Das in Haagen-Dazs. Got a bogus umlaut there.
By the window where the light is.
Mr. Fargan Bass.
She's my best friend. She made jam when she came.
Don't believe it, the second time this has happened on the show.
You're
playing too many cards, particularly when they're getting stupid. And the machine blows up, it's gone. I haven't got a jingle to finish.
What, this?
Yeah.
Okay,
anything else? Okay, so what we'll finish with, we'll finish with Keith Richards falling over in a recording studio, followed by that noise. Just going to let you know, but if you're in London all of next week, REM album is not selling too well, so Michael Stipe is making a special visit. He'll be dressed up as a monster and running up and down Oxford Street saying, I'm a monster, I'm a monster. And he'll be there to sign copies of the LP Monster. But remember, it's only the first 20,000 fans, so do be quick. Oh, yeah, so I've got Keith Richards falling over in a recording studio.
Yeah, OK, man. Oh, shit. Yeah, then.
That'll do. Thank you. Do that again. That's it. 97 to 99, BBC Radio 1
FM. Hook and Bond present the Chris Morris Music Shows.
Visit us online at www.cookandbond.co.uk
or chill.cream.org.